Boy, that was good. One, that's better than peanut butter. And that is good. Now look at it again. John chapter 13, verse 17. It says, If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So God said there are some things that you can do that will make you a happy person. Again, happiness is based on things that you do. It's not based on that which is the inward joy that only the Holy Ghost can give, but it's based on the things that you do. The Holy Spirit, again, to reiterate, is the only one that can give true joy. Happiness comes and goes. You have it today, and it's gone tomorrow. You're happy because the sky is clear, and then tomorrow it rains, and then your happiness goes away. You're happy today because, after all, your husband came home on time and was in a cheerful disposition, and so you were happy. You were happy because your friend, that was your long-lost bosom buddy, old pal, came back to be your friend again, and it's based on happiness. But now, something that God gives is joy. But there is some ways to get happiness in your role-playing of who you are and what you're supposed to do. And let me show you these things tonight. Statement number one, understand the roles to be biblical. God gives you biblical roles. Now, I can tell you, if you know these things and you do them, you're going to be happy. If you know these things and you don't do these things, you're not going to be happy. The Bible says, you shall know the truth. Now stay with me. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right? Now, when it's talking about knowing the truth, it's talking about embracing. It's not talking about just becoming familiar with. It's talking about taking that truth into your life, grasping that truth, embracing that truth, practicing that truth. And so by doing, God says that you will be made free. All right? Now watch this, if you will. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we understand this. It's inspired. It's inspired. It comes from God. It's inspired. So when God gives you a biblical role, it's not something that all of a sudden man thought up. No, when God says this is your biblical role, this is something that God says I gave to you. It's inspired by God and in the contents of Scripture through the Holy Ghost of God, whereby we receive the Word of God. And so it is inspired for us to be able to follow. We also see this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. The Bible says, in all flesh as grass. It says, in all glory of the man as the flower of grass, the grass withereth away, and the flower thereof, watch this, says, falleth away. Then the Bible says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word. It says, by the gospel is preached, by which the gospel is preached unto you. So, okay, you've got grass, it's likened unto the flesh. You have that which is a flower, if you would please. It's likened unto man. God said these two things have something in common. Both of them are going to dissipate. Both of them are going to become something that they went from to becoming, and that is from that which is to that which is nothing. They're going to fade away. They're going to lose themselves in their distinctive way of existence. Now, we understand this. We understand that life is not forever. So statement number one, I'm saying this, that understand the roles to be biblical. It is inspired. It is inspired. God gave you biblical roles. They're from God. They're not from man. Well, I don't like who I am. I'm sorry. Well, I don't like the position that God placed me in. I'm sorry. Well, I wish that God would have made me different. I'm sorry. You can't do anything about it. Now, you might as well rejoice. You might as well rejoice that God made you who you are. Well, I wish God would have made me taller. I wish God would have made me skinnier. I wish God would have made me heavier. I wish God would have made me shorter. I wish God would have made me more intelligent. I wish God would have made me not so intelligent. I wish, you know, forget it. Forget it. Just get over it and just thank God that God made you who you are. Thank God when you look in the mirror, you're there. Now, thank God that you're somebody. Doesn't matter how tall you are, doesn't matter how short you are, doesn't matter how handsome you think you are. Thank God that you exist. All right, now we know this, it is inspired. We know this, it lasts forever. It lasts forever. I'm talking about the biblical role. Somebody tries to rewrite it, and they say, "I tell you what, I don't like the way that the man has the biblical role, and so I'm going to write a book so that I can correct man on how he's supposed to be." You cannot improve upon the Bible. You cannot do it. Well, I'm going to write a book. It's going to tell. I'm going to write a book. It's going to tell everybody how to rear their children. The best book you could ever get in your life on how to rear children is called the Bible. Well, I'm going to go write me a book that teaches about finances and about developing social skills. If you just get your head in the book and allow the book to get in your heart, you'd be amazed at what it would do to change you. All right? And so we see it lasts forever. We also see this is to be taken as is. Taken as is. Well, I know God said that, but let me give you my opinion. Well, first off, God is not interested in your opinion. You let God be God and you be you. Don't try to become God of you. All right, now here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And every word of God," stay with it now, "is pure." Have you ever hung around somebody that gave you unpure words? I was preaching in West Africa, and two missionaries preaching in the meeting with me. And one of the guys was sitting up front. He started cracking dirty jokes. Missionary, dirty jokes. He looked around at me and he said, "How come you're not laughing?" I said, "Because I don't think your stupidity is funny." Here we are, we're in a meeting and we're praying that God would give us his power, and you're cracking these dirty jokes. And you think God is going to smile on that? I don't think God is going to smile on that. If I were you, I'd clean my mind up and I'd clean my heart up and I'd get along with God if you want God to move this week. Now, I'm saying this, every word of God is pure. You don't have to worry about God misleading you. You don't have to worry about God lying. You don't have to worry about God, if you would please, making something up that's not true in order to get somebody to pat him on the back. You don't have to worry about stuff like that. Every word of God is pure. It is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You put your trust in him, he gives you the shield. All right, wait a minute, watch this. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible says, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." You think about all these newfangled versions of the Bible that's out there. Well, they do. They add or they take away from the Word of God. And God said, let me tell you one thing for sure. He said, if you add to it, he says, you will be found a liar. All right? And so we understand this. We do understand that God has some biblical roles. Now, we're supposed to understand the roles to be biblical. They're from God. We understand they're inspired. We understand they last forever. We understand it's supposed to be taken as is. Statement number two, understand the roles to be crucial. Understand the roles to be crucial. They're crucial. It is not take it or leave it. Now, please understand this. I'm sorry, but we live in a more passive society today than we've ever lived in since I have been alive. I mean, when they're out there today, and it seems like every state that's in the union now is heading towards legalizing homosexuality. Now, I'm going to tell you, God says not only should it be not legalized, it's an abomination. Now, wait a minute, don't get mad at me yet, because I'm not done. He says it's an abomination to the Lord thy God. Amen. Now, God says that is something that is an abominable thing. Now, wait a minute, okay? So, here's what we understand. You understand the roles to be crucial. God has a role for you. He did not create you to be a young lady, and all of a sudden, on that day that he created you to be a young lady, he was confused. God has never had a confused day in his life. The Bible says that that confusion, if you would please, is of the devil. All right? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do you realize that when God created you uniquely, and I wish you'd please get this, but God created you uniquely to be who you are. Your stature, your intelligence, Now, you could always improve different things. You might not be able to improve. Well, you can. You can improve your height. You can do that. I've seen people get put on stretching blocks, and they pulled them from one side to the other, and they might have increased 2 inches. You know, I've seen people that put the rings around their necks, and they're not satisfied with that which is the length of their neck, and so they'll pop a ring around their neck and push it up, and pop another ring around their neck and push it up, and pop another ring around their neck and push it up. Before you know it, their neck is, you know, a foot and a half, 2 foot tall. I've seen ladies that wear earrings so heavy that their ears are now sagging down past their hips. Okay. All right. Now, But here's what we do understand. We understand this, that the roles that God has given you in their performance, they're crucial. They're crucial. You let the man be the man and you be the woman. You let the child be the child and train the child. Okay? All right? John chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. All right? So if you want God's blessings upon your home, then it's crucial that you follow the roles that God has for you to follow. It's not enough to know the roles. You're supposed to live the roles. It's not enough to be able for just one family to participate in the role playing. It is very important. And by the way, it doesn't matter if anybody else participates in it or not. You're supposed to train your family up to participate in being the right role models for people to follow. And the only way you can do that is by performing the role that God has placed in your individual life to be able to perform. So it's just not a nice thing to do. Well, you know, I think it's a nice thing to do. It's more than a nice thing to do. It's a Bible thing to do. All right? And so it's more than just, well, I think I'll play my role today, but I won't play it tomorrow. No. You play it every day. Play it every day. Well, I'm so glad that my wife plays the role of being not just my wife, but feminine. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad that my wife, when I come home and I want sugar, she don't have the boxing gloves on and says, come on, I'll give you sugar if you go one more round. I mean, I don't want that. I don't want to get beat up. All right, forget that. But now think about this, okay? You can enjoy God's blessings upon your homes if you play your role. You can negate God's blessings upon your home if you do not play the role. So it's important to play the role. Hello? That's why when God talks about the woman over in Isaiah chapter 47, the Bible talks about training them to be feminine, and it talks about using, if you would please, words such as tender, delicate. Well, that's tender, delicate, not rough and tough, but tender and delicate. Okay, all right. And so statement number three, understand the roles to be personally achieved. Now, all right, so understand the roles to be personally achieved or achievable. They can be achievable. They're within reach. So they're not just crucial, they are achievable. A person can actually achieve them. The Bible talks about how we can do what God asks us to do. Or in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Well, I don't think I can. Get that out of your head, because God says through a testimony of the Apostle Paul, I can do all. I can do. I can do. I can do. There is the power that lies within you to be able to obey what God has told us to do, whereby he says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you have all the power, please understand this, you have all the power of the Godhead inside of you. All right, to be able to perform all the tasks that God has commanded us in the Word of God. All right, so we understand that we're able to do those things. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13, the Bible says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, and saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. He said, I'll hold your right hand. I love the story of Ira Sankey many years ago when he used to lead singing for D.L. Moody. And I love the story where they were over there in London area, and it's when the trench coats, or the overcoats, if you would please, first came out, and Ira went out and bought his boy an overcoat. And it was a wintry night, and they were traveling through the forest to get back to the carriage and to get into the carriage to go down into the London area and to get into the hotel that night. And Ira had gone through the pathway several times. His boy had not. He'd been dropped off earlier by somebody. It was a chauffeur. And so he'd been dropped off at the meeting that night to hear his daddy lead singing and watch Moody preach. And Ira put all of his music in his little carry case that he had and alphabetized it like he always did, and said, look, we're going to take a stroll. We'll pick the carriage up on the other side of the little bitty forest. And they started walking through. He gave his boy a trench coat that night, very first one out, and gave him a trench coat that night as a gift. And they started walking through the woods. And on the way through the woods, he told his 10-year-old boy, he said, son, he said, I know the pathway. I know where it's icy. I know where it's not icy. Let me hold your hand. And the boy had his hands inside the trench coat, the overcoat, keeping his hands warm. And he said, no, daddy. He said, I want to keep my hands in the overcoat. And daddy said, no. He said, it's icy little paths through here, patches of ice. And he said, take your hand out of your overcoat. Give me a hand. I'll guide you through and you won't fall. He said, no, daddy, I'm 10 years old. He said, I can do it, daddy. I can do it. About that time, he fell. Hit that little patch of ice, fell, hit his back, and looked up at daddy and took his hand out of his trench coat and said, I'll hold your hand now, daddy. All right? Well, you know, you don't have to wait till you fail as a parent to hold God's hand. You don't have to wait till you fail as a young person to hold God's hand. You have a book right here whereby God extends his hand through the Bible, and he says, now here is my hand. If you will simply take this, you don't have to be somebody that fails in parenthood. You don't have to be somebody that fails in child rearing. You don't have to be somebody that fails in being the right type of child, the right type of teenager. God said, I extend my hand through the book, and the book being the Bible, that will guide you down the pathways that are icy that you tread upon as you walk down life's paths. God said, this is the way, walk ye therein. Now, what is the way that we're supposed to walk ye therein? The Word of God. Well, you know, I don't know if I agree with my parents. Well, if your parents are walking therein, then you better agree with your parents. Well, I just don't know if they're right. You don't have to know if they're right. If they're obeying the book, I can tell you on the testament of Christ, they're right. You see, I've seen people that's obeyed the book and things didn't turn out all right. Well, it might have been that they obeyed the book outwardly, but was not obeying the book inwardly. Might have been that they were hypocritical. Come on. Carry a 16-pound Bible to church, tuck it up underneath the armpit, smile like a goober, shake hands to 30 people as soon as you walk in, use all the terminologies of Christian and Christian-type talk, and glory to God, hallelujah, God's been so good to me, God answered prayer, God has helped me, oh, how wonderful is the praises of God, and yet a person goes home, and they get on the boob tube, they get on the television or something like that, and they watch that thing, and it contaminates the heart. And then they wonder, how come God is not blessing? Okay, I'll move on. Harry S. Truman said this, the pessimist is one that makes difficulties, says, of his opportunities. The optimist is the one that makes opportunities of his difficulties. Well, I think that was a good statement. That's why I wrote it down. But understand the roles that you can personally achieve them. You can personally achieve them. Let me hurry. Here we go. You ready? Understand your role to be your focus. Don't get out of focus. Focus on it. I'm going to hurry. Don't get out of focus. Focus on your role. Make it personal. Be accountable to God. Know that your family is accountable to God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, so then every one of us give an account of himself to God. God tells us very clearly that we are supposed to be accountable. God talks about comparing yourself to somebody else. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3, the Bible says, and why, beholdest, it says, the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest thou not the beam that is in thine own eye. How can thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in mine eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then thou shalt clearly see how to cast the mote out that is in thy brother. All right, a mote is something that's it's just a little grainage, if you would please. It's like, okay, it's like you're out there and you're sawing wood, and it's just a really little tiny splinter, if you would. It's just a little bitty thing, but then you have the beam. What is a beam? A beam is just what you think it is. It's something that's gigantic. It is something that hurts. If I took Brother Jonathan, I laid him down here in front of the pulpit, and I took a beam and I took a mullet hammer, and I begin to hit that beam in his eyeball, he'd probably squeal a little bit. Like a girl. Okay? All right? And he said, look, before you take and you try to look at somebody else and take the beam, if you would please, or the mote out of their eye, then you take the beam out of your own eye. Oh, spiritual, it's not my mama, not my papa, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Most of the problems with the families are not because of external pressures, it's because of that which is internal difficulties that are not overcome. Most of the problems with marriages is not because somebody outside is trying to infiltrate in, but rather it's the family unit that's not strong within themselves, whereby the wall is weakened, and so it's easy for anybody to penetrate in. And because of that, the whole structure is weakened. Now, let me give you a couple of things here, just to think about, okay, as far as child rearing when it comes to the summertime. Statement number one, seek advice from someone older and wiser than you are. Go to somebody's rear children and seek advice. You know, maybe if you're in your 40s or 50s, you probably have small children. If you're in your 50s or edging up closer to the 60 mark or mid-50s, if you will, you probably got a teenager. Well, go to somebody who's been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. Okay, statement number next. Do not argue or debate with your child. You know, one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life is an adult that's arguing with a three-year-old. Now, how ridiculous is that? The Walmart brat jumping up and down. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Smile at that little critter. And say, you're going to get it when you get home. I'll give it to you for sure. But right now, you're going to be quiet. All right? And I was in Walmart one time, and this boy's giving his mama, I mean, it was payday for him. And boy, he's giving his mama grief. And I looked at her, and I said, I'd make him quiet. She looked at me, and she said, oh, no, thank you. All right? Okay. Well, do not argue or debate your child. Statement number next. Never give a command while you're in the other room. Never give a command while you're in the other room. You know, don't do that. Get your child down. Now, you might have to, if you have a large house, you might have to holler for them to get them to come where you are. But then look at them in the eye gate, if you will, and give them the command. And by the way, if you're not sure, we used to do this all the time, but if you're not sure they understand, have them repeat it to you. And by the way, you might have to have them repeat it to you several times to see if they get it. Okay, but have them repeat it to you. That way you're sure it clicked and they understand it. Statement number next, do not give your child a cell phone. You have a 9-year-old kid walking around with a cell phone. Parent, I love you in the Lord, but you're nuts. You got a 10-year-old kid walking around with a cell phone. Don't do that. I'm scared about a lot of teenagers have cell phones. Yeah, they get on the bus to go soul winning, and they'll pull out their cell phone, play a game, or look at pictures. Put that stupid thing away and go soul winning. You know, don't let, and how rude is that? Is it rude or what? you come to my office and you say, preacher, I need to ask you some questions about the college. I said, have a seat. And you sit down and you start to talk to me, and I pick up my cell phone and I'm texting somebody the whole time. You don't feel very important. That's rude. Well, hey, here's what you do. You say, I want to spend time with you, whoever the you is. I want to spend time with you. And then you sit there in the you's presence that you want to spend time with, and you text the whole time you're with you. Some of this is not going over too well tonight. It's only a Bible study. It's not preaching. It's a Bible study. Use the Bible as your primary source of rearing your children. Use your Bible. If God said it, God knows what he meant. He meant what he said. You don't have to argue with God. You don't have to debate it. He's right. You're not. Determine the value of God in your home. What is the value of God in your home? I'm talking about rearing children. What is the value of God in your home? Is there a value? How much do you value God in your home? Okay, statement number next. Listen to preaching from your pastor. Okay, let me help you a little bit. Right now, I don't have a medical doctor. I don't have I just don't. But if I ever have the need of getting a medical doctor involved in my life, I promise you, I'm probably going to go to one guy and stick with him. Now, it just makes common sense. Why would I go to two medical doctors that might cross up my medicine if I ever have need of medicine? Why would I go to two medical doctors and go through the agony of going through all... I was over in the Philippines, and Brother Mike Ray and I was preaching over there in Cebu. So we had this great idea. We're going to have blood tests done. And so we're sitting there. He's sitting beside me. Of course, over in the Philippines, it's different. You're in an open room. It's not private quarters. So you're having your blood taken while there's like 30 people sitting right next to you. And so he thought he's going to have fun. And so they started to come towards him to stick him with the needle, and he hollered as loud as he could, "Ah!" Here's this lady over here in her 60s, and she rose up like that. And then she started to leave. Scared her to death. And I thought, it was laughing. We're funny. Yeah, it was good. But then this lady came up to me, and I don't know. I asked her before she put the needle in to take my blood. I said, "How long have you been practicing?" She said, "About 8 years." I thought, okay, that's pretty good, you know. And so she went like that to my right arm and had a tourniquet around it. Went like that, tried to get a blood vein, couldn't find it. So now it's just kind of stabbing in the dark. So she went in, couldn't find it. She said, "I'm sorry I missed it." I said, "I'm sorry you missed it too." I said, "But try again. Maybe you'll get it." So she tried again, and she missed it. I said, "I think that one's scared. It's probably running from you now. Why don't you go to the other arm?" So she went to the other arm, and she put that little tourniquet around it, and I'm going like this. And she said, "You know, I'm scared I'll miss it again." She said, "Maybe I ought to get somebody else." I said, "I think it's a good idea." I always agree with my nurses and doctors. And so then a man came, he put it in there and took. All right, now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that why would you want to go to different doctors and get shot all over again? You're going to get shot enough in one place. You'll get enough blood drawn from here instead of bouncing all over, getting blood drawn from every preacher in the nation. All right, so listen to the preaching, okay, of your pastor. He'll help you. Statement number next. Listen to your children when they speak. Now, by the way, sometimes you have to listen to them when they're not saying anything. Just watch them. Sometimes when they're not talking, they'll speak volumes. The way they position their body, the way they roll their eyes, the way they slant their head, the way that they smile, they'll tell you a lot just by watching them. Statement number next, inconsistency does not produce consistency. They will do more what you do than what you say do. Now, they would do more what you say do when they're younger, but the older they get, the more they will do what they want to do, whether you say do it or not. That just comes with the field. Statement number next. Parenting is full-time. It's lifetime. It's a full-time job. It's a lifetime. Statement number next. Be willing to say, I'm sorry to you children when you make a mistake. Be willing to say, look, I'm sorry. You know, there's been times I paddled my children and I found out later they didn't do it. And I said, you know, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have paddled you for that. Now, here's what all my children have said up to this point. They have said, well, we probably deserved it because you don't know all the things we got away with before I got the paddle. Okay? Mean what you say and say what you mean. Statement number next, help your children to make wise decisions. Statement number next, get your children on a schedule, even if you're not on a schedule. Get your children on a schedule, okay? Now, you might have to get your act together a little bit more if you're not on a schedule in order to do it. Statement number next, limit the TV, the DVDs, and other media. Conversate. Have conversations when you're at home. Talk. It's a wonderful loss element in the home. Talk. You know why? Okay, here you go. You ready? You know why people don't fellowship or know how to fellowship in church? Can I tell you why? Because they don't know how to fellowship or talk at home. Somebody comes to church and they say, well, you know, I don't have any friends. Well, he that have friends must show himself, talk to me, must show himself. He that have friends must show himself. Well, in order to have friends, you got to be friendly. You have to be friendly. Now, I love you in the name of the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. When church is over, if you want to have friends, you can't get up and shoot out of here like a cannonball that's been shot during the Civil War. Well, I want to have friends. Got to go. Stay around. By the way, if you stay around long enough, somebody's going to trip over you. I'm telling you, they will. They will. If you stay around long enough, somebody is going to come up to you. And if you stay around long enough, the guys that turn off the lights will fellowship with you. I promise you. Here's how they're going to fellowship. Are you ever going to go home? And then you'll be able to look back and say, wow, I got a friend. I have fellowship. Okay? Now, I'm just saying, hang around, you know, talk to people, invite somebody out. Okay, watch this. You go to any of these teenage boys, you go to any of these college guys and say, hey, look, you know, maybe you're a young professional male and you go to one of these guys and say, look, I'd like to take you out and treat you to a steak. I don't know of a teenage boy in this room that would turn you down. What's that called? Fellowship. Hello? See, here's what we think fellowship is. Can I tell you what we think fellowship is? When we sit in somebody's presence and we are all about them. Come here, Jeremiah. Here's what we think fellowship is. I see Jeremiah sitting there. I walk over to Jeremiah, I sit down. I say, hey, Jeremiah, how you doing, man?
Good.
I tell you what, it's hot out today. Do you think it was hot?
Yes, sir.
But I had fun today. I worked, but I had fun. Did you have fun?
Yes, sir.
What'd you do?
We played around the house.
You did what?
Played around the house.
You played around the house. I played around the church. And, you know, I counseled some people today, and I think it helped them. Pretty neat. Huh?
Yes, sir.
How'd you like that preaching on Sunday?
It was good.
Was it good?
Yes, sir.
I liked the preacher, too. And I heard Young Fundamentalists is something. You been going?
Yes, sir.
Good for you. I'm glad you answered yes. You enjoying that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's your favorite food?
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff, huh? Yeah, it's because you're a boy. Like pizza?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Would you classify that as one of your favorite foods?
Yes, sir.
What do you like about Texas?
It's God's country.
It's God's country. No comment. And all right. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. All right. And as long as I've got his attention and he has my attention, here's what we say. That's fellowship. I want to show you something. He's my soul winning partner. Come on. We walk beside me if you don't mind. I won't bite. And we're going up the mountain. Mountain. We don't have those in Texas. But we go over here and knock on the door of Center. Center stands up and opens the door. And hi, my name is Mike. This is Jeremiah. We're from Parkside Baptist Church. I'd like to have you come visit us sometime. What's your name?
Don.
Don. Nice to meet you, Don. Have you lived here long?
No, we just moved in.
Just moved in. Boy, you got a lot of neighbors. And you like the neighborhood?
No, sir.
You don't like the neighborhood? It's the neighbors, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I knew it was. And all right. Now, wait a minute. But, okay, now, wait a minute. I'm talking to him, but we're together. It's called fellowship. That's called fellowship. Here's what we think fellowship is. Thank you. And here's what we think fellowship is. You sit around, you play a board game. That's called fellowship. But fellowship is also digging a hole together. Fellowship is working on a bus route together. Fellowship is changing a tire together. Fellowship is going to the kitchen and invading it when mama's not there. And fixing yourself one of those banana strawberry shakes. You like that? Thought you would. All right, but that's fellowship. That's fellowship. You know what fellowship is? Fellowship is sitting together in church, not saying a word, listening to the preacher, and every so often, well, it was good, wasn't it? That's it, yeah. Okay, thank you. Now watch this, okay? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying limit your television, limit your DVD, limit your media. Statement number next. Work at being the best parents you can be. Let your kids know always you're trying. Let them know you're trying. Son, I'm not the best daddy I can be, but I want you to know I'm trying. I want you to know we're giving it our best shot. I don't know everything. But what I do know, we're going to try and practice. Let them know you're not perfect. Let them know you're trying. Okay? Talk to your children. Talk to your children. Undivided attention. Talk to your children. Statement number next. Teach manners. Practice it yourself. Don't be rude in society. Pull up behind somebody and they're at the red light. You give it the horn. Get out of my way! Your son's looking at you like... All of a sudden his aunt shows up at the house. Starts playing with a toy of his that he admires and likes. Give it back! I wonder where he got that from. Pray daily for your children. Pray by name. Do not expect more from your child, listen to me now, than you do yourself. Don't be unfair. Don't do that. You know, one thing I think my kids have seen in mom and I, number one is consistency. Number two, fairness. Number three, they have seen the fact that we're human. They've seen we're human. We don't put on the dog. We're human. We cry together. We laugh together. We cut up together. We cut each other hard together. We're human. Let them see the human side of you. Let them see that you're real. By so doing, I tell you, it will change their life. Father, help us, we pray.